But we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit aids or assists in the mortification process in the light of, let me say this, in the light of the power of the new nature. Hallelujah. That's how we're going to see it. We're going to see how he assists mortification in our life through the power of what we've already been created to be. Amen. So to do that, go with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're here. Those of you who are watching, everybody, I appreciate you being a part of what is being taught today. Hallelujah. This chapter, as you get there, and don't get into it, reading it too much to start with. Let me just listen, or you just listen to what I have to say, and then we're going to read it together in just a moment. But I want to tell you this. Romans, it's a book I love, a book I've been through many, many, many times. But I can tell you Romans chapter 8 is the perfect combination of the power of the born-again Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit through tongues, the ministry to us through the edification of tongues. So we see two things here in this chapter. We're going to see the power of the born-again nature and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Before we start on this subject of mortification, it is important for me, because we want to talk about the aid of the Holy Spirit, but it's very important that we first talk about the power of the born-again nature. Before we start on this subject of mortification, it's important for me to mention some things necessary to understand His, that's the Holy Spirit's, ministry in regards to mortification. I will remind you, you don't have to turn there, but those of you that followed along with us as pastor, he won't want me calling him pastor, he's one of my pastors, but as Gary Carpenter taught on 1 John, which was a very powerful series, I will just remind you very briefly one of the major or main themes in 1 John, and I'll just read this for you as a kind of a quick synopsis of to one of those major themes. 1 John 1:5 says this, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness." Everybody say no darkness. Now, this is one of the major themes, maybe the main thing. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's God, and we walk in darkness, I want to say habitual darkness, if we do that, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, what? From all sin. Now, one of the things that we learned from that, and we've learned, I mean, it wasn't just that, but it was very, that was a very powerful echo of truth. It was a bullhorn of truth to all of us, cleared up some gray areas, very, very powerful. But the Lord's been teaching that, you know, along and along, we've all been gravitating to that same message. If a man says, one of the things that we learn, I'll just use that series as an example. If a man says that he's born again, a born-again believer, and continues to walk in habitual sin, he's a liar. What does that mean? That means he is not born again. If he's continuing to walk in sin, killer sins, I used this terminology, Gary loved it, deal-breaker sins. Somebody, you know, if you ever want to talk to somebody that wants to muddy the water, listen to somebody that starts telling you all sins are the same. They're muddying the water so they can make a point about being able to disguise their own sins. If you just if you just muddy up everything, then there's a confusion. So, somebody told me one time, he said, running a stop sign or doing this, that, and the other is just as wrong as committing adultery. You can't be any further away from the truth. Listen, all disobedience, the word says, is sin. In other words, if the Lord has told you for the last 10 years to pray an hour a day and you haven't been doing it, that's sin. But for heaven's sake, God Almighty, nobody's going to go to hell for not spending the right amount of time in prayer. That's not a killer sin. But there are killer sins, and we went through them, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, and Ephesians 6. There are prescripted, I mean, it's right there. And every single one of those three different passages say those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they're deal breakers. If you were saved, if you're doing those things, it'll break the deal. Your spirit will die. So we taught several lessons on that reference to those references. If these deadly sins continue to be practiced habitually after a man says that he knows Christ, then he's a liar. In other words, if there was no abating, he just keeps going. He's a liar and there's no change in him. In regards to Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit does not, I want to say this, and this is vitally, vitally important, that you really need to get this. Because when we're talking about the mortification of what the assistance of mortification that the Holy Spirit has in the life of the believer, this particular part is very important that you catch this. The Holy Spirit, and when I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about our subject matter is what? Praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit does not recreate the will. And I'm talking about not the willpower. Somebody says, there's no reason to recreate the will. I mean, if it's been already done, we don't have to do it again. That's the adage. That's what I'm using. The W-H-E-E-L, not the W-I-L-L. The Holy Spirit does not recreate the will by praying in tongues for us or with us. The Holy Spirit does not recreate. I didn't hear him say this, but I heard Gary say that he said this, and he's a friend of mine, Richard Edgard, used this terminology, the mechanism of righteousness. I thought that was a pretty good expression of what we have been created to be. We have the mechanism of righteousness, the compass of truth on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit does not recreate the mechanism of righteousness when we're praying in tongues. In other words, as you're praying in tongues, it doesn't matter if you give yourself to a million hours of it, he does not create or recreate. He was the original creator of your born-again nature. But once he's done that, there's no need to do that again. And all the praying in tongues does not do that as you're praying in tongues. One thing that does, I love, once you get that understanding, it really eliminates, really takes the elimination off of the excuses of somebody who says, you know, I did that because I have not been praying. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if you weren't praying. Well, I got so weak because I wasn't praying. Listen, the Holy Spirit, while you're praying in tongues, does not create or recreate the will to say no to sin. That was done at the creation of the new birth. Well, I'm praying that the desire, that he'll create a desire in me to stop sinning and stop doing what I'm doing. Well, you're not even saved then. If the desire's not already there, you're not even saved. What you're saying is you're giving yourself over to another mindset, which is the mind of the flesh, and you're believing something about yourself that's not true. But the mechanism of righteousness, that's already a million hours of praying in tongues won't create the will to stop sinning was created the moment you're born again. Hallelujah. But does he assist? Yes, he does. But how does he assist? And we're going to get to that in a little bit. The Holy Spirit does not create the same thing twice. Why create? I'm praying in tongues so I'll get a desire to stop sinning. That desire was created in the moment you were born again. Well, I don't have that desire. Well, one or two things, you're just not born again. Or you're just listening to a side of you called the flesh. At the rebirth, the eternal and divine and absolute no Everybody say it with me. No. A divine no to sin was created inside of you at the rebirth. Ephesians 4:24, you don't have to turn there. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created. It's just created in righteousness and true holiness. 1,000,000 hours of praying in tongues does not make your born-again spirit man more righteous or more holy. But it does assist, and we're going to talk about that assistance in a little bit. There was a divine, absolute, and eternal no to sin created within your spirit when you were born again. Praying in tongues does not create the no. Doesn't create it. It was there when you were born again. The new nature is the apparatus. You want to say, oh, I love that term mechanism, but the new nature is the apparatus that holds the divine no inside of it. Praying in tongues does not directly take away the desire to sin from you, but it does. We're going to talk about how it assists in just a few moments. Now, to do that, we're going to look at Romans 8. How are we doing? We're doing good. Hallelujah. The person you became at new birth gave you that desire to stop sinning. Now, let's look at Romans 8, verse 1, because we're going to look at this, and I'm going to have to really skip over a lot of stuff, because you could teach, man, a teacher could teach Romans 8 for centuries, really. But so I'm just going to say, acknowledge the truth, acknowledge the scripture, and keep going. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Stop quickly. There is therefore is the answer to chapter 7. It's that great argument. What I want to do? Do you know what? Listen, as long as you're a Christian that hasn't come to the reconciliation of understanding chapter 7, if that has not been taught to you, you're going to live a defeated, sin-filled life. And if you do make heaven, you're going to be in continual jeopardy, because what you're going to do is you're going to believe that chapter 7 was a blank check written to the church for an excuse to sin. Because if Paul could sin, or if Paul had weakness to the flesh, then I must have weakness to the flesh. Paul concludes that whole chapter, and I wish we cannot teach that, but Paul concludes that chapter, which there was no 7 and 8, he concludes it with chapter 7 and saying, that identification that I once identified with as an Old Testament believer who had a desire according to my mind, but I could not keep the law because something inside of me, even when I desired to keep it, it kept falling prey to the person that was on the inside, which was that dead nature, that was death, that dictated Paul or any man. Paul was standing in the personification as an example of everybody. There was two types of people in the Old Testament. There's people that could care less. They could don't give a you know what. But there were those who loved God as much as they could, like David and different ones. And even though they loved God, they still couldn't stop sinning at times. David wrote some of the greatest Psalms, and you'd think, my God, this man is filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was the Holy Ghost speaking through him. He wasn't born again, and yet David had the capacity to kill a man and take his wife. And somebody said, oh, that's the one I identify with. That's the because Paul said the thing that I wanted. That's not you. That's guys that didn't have the new nature. We got it. We're born again. That groaning that Paul was expressing for everybody that lived under the law and could not keep it is totally fulfilled in verse 1. Now there is therefore, since we've come into Christ, no condemning sentence. that condemning sentence, and again, the body of Christ thinks that means like, you can't condemn me, don't condemn me of my sin. This is a judicial term, meaning this, now, in this time, that which had control as a condemning overall umbrella of control over you no longer has the power. The power plug has been pulled on that. It has no longer a condemning sentence to make you do what you don't want to do. There's no condemning sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that in a nutshell is your born-again nature. That law that defeated the law of sin and death is the law of life, which is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And somebody said, what are you talking about, flesh? You're talking about when I cursed the other day or this, that. This is all a position. When he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about that nature of the flesh, that prior to born-again person who did not have a new nature. They walked after the flesh nature because that's who they were. And he says here in verse 5, and they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, that's that born-again nature. Boy, we taught for years. Sometime we'll maybe teach it again for those who have never heard it. All of the differentiation between all the small caps or the small and the capital S's here. The little S's versus the big S. Little S is your spirit versus the big S, which is the Holy Ghost. It's very, very important. But as of yet, we haven't heard from the Holy Ghost yet in our readings. We're just talking about that spiritual man that you were created to be. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, that means it's totally in opposition against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are of in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, to live after that nature, there's no way to please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, little spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that's that spirit that we got from God, or it's come of God, that's our born-again nature, dwelleth in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, that's that born-again nature, he's not his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And I'll just tell you this, your body, you know, according to emotions and according to what you can feel, it don't feel dead. It don't feel dead. This is a positional truth. But it's by this positional truth that all of the other inroads execute the truth of domination over your body. In other words, all the inroads. We're talking about the inroad of praying in tongues. Fasting works because your body has positionally been declared dead. And why would it be declared dead? Because it has appetites in it. It has appetites in it. I like what Gary Carpenter says. He says, your body, no matter what, you know, your spirit is one thing, of course, but your body, your flesh, just left without the dominion, it can't do it as long as you have to take dominion. But if you just let your body do whatever it wants to do, it thinks all the adultery that you can have is just wonderful. It thinks all the drugs that you can have. It thinks gluttony is fine. It thinks drinking is fine. The body will never, ever be sanctified in the sense it'll have a sanctification as of the dominion that the Spirit holds over, but it'll never be changed from those appetites until we go home. It's still there all the way through our Christianity. Romans 8:11 says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised, it's still talking about the Spirit of Him, that's that life that was in Christ, that came from God, rather, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now let's talk about the heirs of Christ here in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, but to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, this is 13, is very, very powerful. If you live after the flesh, once you've come into the Spirit, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. And what are the 1 John? I'm stuttering. I want to get it out. Woo! 1 John. Here we're looking at bookcase. We're looking at two ends of a bookcase here. 1 John says if you don't stop habitually sinning, you never were born again. But once you come in, if you go back to habitually sinning, you will die. Both ends. Hallelujah. The mortification message that we're going to share this morning and try to finish up is the mortification that Paul was speaking of here and the assistance that the Holy Ghost gives. It's not the mortification that is used so much in the church. And even the church that learns this message of praying in tongues and uses it as a hall pass to say, I'm in mortification so I can stay in my sin. I'm in the process. It's like a woman that's pregnant. Natalie, how far along are you? Only got 6 more weeks or so? Natalie's in the process. Believers that live after the flesh that learn this message will say, I'm in the process. I'm pregnant with praying in tongues, but I'm living with my girlfriend. That's not mortification. You are not in mortification if you're already in the sin, the habitual sin, and yet you say you're praying yourself out. Well, I'm going to pray myself out of this thing by praying in tongues. No, you're not in mortification. You're in mortification when you get in the car, crank it up, and leave. Otherwise, if you stay in that, you will go to hell. Well, we don't live together, but we sleep together a couple times a week or 2 or 3 times a month. That's habitual. What's habitual? The second time? The second time. Now you've made a habit of it. Well, I repent. Do you know what? Here's the thing. You get off of that repent stuff. That repent stuff, should we? Yeah, you can repent. But I can tell you this. If you repent with premeditation and keep going back. Repentance, the word repentance, I don't know where the church got off on this. Repentance means stopping it. The word repentance means to stop. If you repent, you say, well, I repented, but I did it again and I did it again. And I did. You didn't repent. And the problem is the thinking that you can do it and then say, Jesus, forgive me. After a while, you will go into what is called a reprobate mind. In other words, you will say it with your mouth, but you don't believe it in your heart. And it doesn't matter if you say, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He can't forgive you because you're not truly repenting. Your words are a fallacy in your own mouth. They are your own deception. You can come to the place where you keep doing the same sin enough and you say, but I keep repenting for it. No, you can get to the place where you can go around killing people and your mind is so derelict, but I repent over it every time, Pastor. Repentance means stop. The mortification process is stop now. But can he assist you with the urges? Can he assist you while you're in your fight? Can he assist you? Yes, he can. Glory be to God. Well, we're living together, but I'm in mortification. No, you're not in mortification. Get in the car, leave, or go to the courthouse. I usually need a few months to marry somebody, but to keep you from going to hell, I'll marry you the next day. Because it takes 24 hours, I think, for the license or something like that, 48 hours. And then you need to, if you have no place to stay, you, the man, you can stay at my house so y'all don't go to bed that night. Because if you go to bed and do it again and you get killed in a car wreck, you still probably go to hell. You say, Pastor, this is strong. It's the truth. This is the gospel that raises the dead. Hallelujah. the positional truth of your body. But verse 11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised, we read that, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, verse 12, 13, we did. This is where we're at. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. 1 John teaches that if we continue to sin habitually, we never were saved. Romans teaches us that if we return, we've already said this, but I'm reading my notes, to a habitual lifestyle to sin, we lose our salvation or we die. True mortification comes through the Spirit. Now, the Word says it's through the Spirit that we mortify. The word mortify here is thanato. It's, I think of Thanos, the bad guy. Yeah, Thanos. You'd have to be an Avenger to do. The word means to kill, literally or figuratively. It means to make or become dead, to cause, to put to death, to mortify. In other words, he says it's through the Spirit that you mortify, oh, I know, praying in tongues, and then you mortify. No, no, no. He's not, it's still a little less. It's through your born again nature. See, Dave even said years ago, he said for years while he was on this journey that he taught that this was the Holy Spirit. And then he realized after he got further, aren't you glad for Pastor Dave and the born again trail? I'm telling you, the born again trail is probably the paramount, it's just probably the foundation that was given to this generation to understand all kinds of other mysteries. But Pastor Dave said, I once thought that it's through when you know through the Spirit that you mortify the deeds of the body. He said, I once thought that that was, and he said, I even taught it was through the Holy Spirit. But it's not. He said, it's through your born again spirit, the mechanism of righteousness, the apparatus of no. It's through that that you have the power to say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, is there assistance? There's assistance. But for you to say the will's not there, that's wrong. That's a lie. To say I can't. To say, to even use the assistance that's coming. I got some assistance. But if you misuse the assistance and say it's going to create the will, you're already deceived. And you're deceiving yourself. And I'm going to pray until I get the will. No, you're misusing. You know, and I thought to myself, Lord, how can I explain this? Because I'm explaining it so many different ways. But then I understand this. If you're a person wanting to sin, it doesn't. If you're a person that wants to give excuses for your drinking, drugging, looking at porno, men doing things for themselves, now, all that will send you to hell. It'll send you to hell if you don't repent from it and stop it. But if you're a person that just wants the excuse, it doesn't matter if I explain this all day long, you'll still reject it and say, I don't agree with Pastor Bronk. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. There's no amount of me getting it over to you that'll ever make you agree with it. Hallelujah. Does everybody still love me? I'm going to look at you. Yeah, I think you still love me, don't you, Carl? Yeah, hallelujah. What spirit? It's through the born-again nature, the spirit, you're born again. Again, that confirms the divine no that's on the inside of Pastor Dave, I said in the early days, would preach. This is the Holy Spirit. Well, look at 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, or you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, here we go. That's the first mention of the Holy Ghost. Here we go. He shows up. Here we go. The Spirit himself or itself, the better translation would be himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned here, okay, and if he says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the time that Paul was living in, the time that we're living in right now, are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, Now, you can just substitute, the King James says creature, it's the word creation. It's talking about our planet. Wait is for the manifestation of the sons of God. This planet, somebody said, the devil's creating the hurricanes, the earthquakes, the famine, the blood. That's, I mean, listen, that Jesus told us that that's going to come. And the reason why it's coming, it's not because the devil's creating it. It's because this planet is dying. It's groaning. It's saying, I want the manifestation of the sons of God to be manifest. I want them to have a new body, for me to have a new body. I'm a dying planet. For creation, I'm just going to read it like it really is in the Greek, verse 20. For creation was made manifest, or was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that has subjected the same in hope. Remember when God said, okay, Adam, you're cursed, but the ground's cursed also. Both of them were cursed at the same time. The planet didn't do anything, but it had to be subject to the same vanity. That's the curse. That's the fall that man was subject to. It says, because, again, the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. That's the earth. That's the hurricanes. That's the storms. That's whatever. And not only creation, the King James has they, but that's italicized. It's not there in the Greek. And not only creation, but ourselves, which self? Our born-again spirit self. Ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, which is the new nature, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit's not there, wit means to be made complete, but it goes along with the context, the redemption of our body. Let me read 23 again. Not only creation is in groaning, I'm putting that in there, but we ourselves that are born again, with the first fruits, the fruit of the born-again nature, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to be made complete. What adoption? The redemption of our body, our glorified body. When we go home, or you know, when we're received. This is the morning. This that there, that groaning is the morning of Matthew, like mourn, like the grievous mourning of Matthew chapter 5. We're also studying Sermon on the Mount series, and we were doing that Sunday night. We'll be doing that again tonight. Gary covered that eloquently, wonderfully. Somebody said, Pastor Dave used to say, you don't walk around with groaning on the inside of you. Oh, yes, you do, if you're born again. You don't recognize it, but the mourning or the groaning is, if you... Unless you're just so self-centered that your whole life is about you, when you see the little crippled children, when you see those that are being afflicted and those that are starving and those that are dying and the children of war, and you see molestation among for little kids and stuff, something inside of you says, oh, God, I hate that stuff. Oh, man, that just makes me sick at my stomach, and I want them healed, or I want to, that's our mourning. That's that new nature on the inside of you that's grieving. It's in intercession in that sense. But now we're going to switch over to the Holy Spirit. We're mourning for the injustices of the world. We're also mourning for our own. It's not just the injustice of the world. We're also, the Word says, we're groaning within ourselves. That mourning or that groaning is crying out, I want a new body. I fought this one through mortification for years. Listen, mortification is not just something we do, it's who we are. We just live that way. That's who we are. We're always keeping under the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, which Homer did an incredible job on that. Intimacy. Knowing him, following him. Paul also reconciled that it was not only that he died daily for the intimacy of following him in all things, but also in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I keep under my body. I bring it under subjection, lest I, having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. I'm sure that Paul, because he's the one that wrote Romans 8, he understood that the process that the Holy Spirit that we're about to read would help him keep under his body. that mortification process. We're not only moaning for the world to be changed, we're moaning on the inside like, God, I want a different body. This doesn't match up. Let me just read this. We are also mourning for our adoption to be made complete and the redemption of this body with a new body. The spirit man is mourning the body that it has to presently live in. The spirit man really doesn't like the body that it has to live in, the appetites of it. You understand? You can go along with your flesh. You can go along with lust. But if you're living out of your spirit, when that thought comes, it says, no, that's not a reflection of who I am. And you're taking orders from me, big boy or little boy. I'm the big boy. I hate that appetite. The spirit man is mourning the body that it has presently to live in. The spirit man does not like the weakness of the flesh body that it has to presently live in. The flesh compared to the spirit is a weak, milly mouth. Please let me do it. Can I please just do it one time? And I won't do it no more. If I can just look one time. Just let me look one time. And I won't do it no more. The flesh is the biggest fat liar. And you want to give it a shot. You want to give it a protein shake. You want to give it a steroid. You want to give it a really good shot. Give it one time. And it'll grow up just a little bit. It'll pack on some muscle. Give it a couple of times, and then it'll start flexing its muscles. And then when the spirit says, no, you're not going to do that, it'll say, shut up. Feel this emotion. And you're like, oh, yeah, it feels good. It feels good. Mm-hmm. My wife makes me want to cry when she amens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:17 says this, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you could not do or cannot do the things that you would. The present appetites of the body are a weakness against the very strength of who we really are. My spirit is groaning to get out of this body and to live in a body that is perfectly compatible. There's an incompatibility here. What I am on the inside and what I am that has any lust of the flesh, these two are different. And my flesh is saying, God, put me in something that represents who we are. That's the groaning. Now the Holy Spirit's going to help with that. Romans 8:24 says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? Hallelujah. Stay with me. We're doing good. Keep going. 25, for if we hope for what we see not, or if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, in the same manner of this groaning that your body, your spirit doesn't like the body that it's in, okay, here we're going to get some assistance. We're going to get some backup here. Likewise, the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit now, also, he also comes along with that groaning. We got first the new nature that says no. But here we're going to get some backup in the sense of the word of how he helps us, we have to understand. Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Likewise, in the same manner that our spirit is warring or moaning against the weakness of the flesh, so the Holy Ghost himself moans for us with groanings that cannot be uttered through our human capacity. The word infirmity here means, in the Greek, it means feebleness of mind or body by implications of malady or malady, morally or a frailty. It can also mean a disease, an infirmity, a sickness, or a weakness. Pastor Dave used to say it like this, that the Holy Spirit, moans for us against the weaknesses that are imposed, or we could say are tried to be imposed by the flesh. Now let's focus on the specifics. Man, how many are still with me? We got to conclude this. Let's focus on the specifically, how does the Holy Spirit war with us in this mortification process? Because again, He does not recreate the no. And He does not create the will to say no. That was created there. Well, how does He help us? We'll go through the remainder of Romans 8 later, because we don't have time right now. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, or no, that's the scripture that I quoted to you, where Paul says, I keep under my body. And knowing that Paul wrote Romans 8, where I'm sure that he had a great understanding of this. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Turn with me, now I got it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 6. We're going to get an insight of how when we pray in tongues. Should we pray in tongues? Pray in tongues until you can't pray no more. We're going to pray for anybody that needs to be baptized at the end of this service. Okay? Look at verse 6. Howbeit, Paul said, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That's us. You perfect people, born of God. You're not perfect as in having grown up into the full nature of Christ, but what was placed in you at the moment of your salvation is perfect seed, righteousness and true holiness. You'll never get any, you can't grow in righteousness. You can't grow in holiness. But what can happen is this. We speak, he says this, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And that's not talking about the pie in the sky when we get to heaven. It's talking about the present tense now, that those things of the Spirit, those things of victory, those things of the knowledge of who we have been created, it cannot enter in to the natural man. In other words, the man that has not yet been born again, but you are. Hallelujah. Wave at me if you are. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. We've got that. But God, verse 10, has revealed them unto us, what? By His Spirit. Now again, we're not yet to the Holy Ghost. That new nature that you've got inside of you carries within it the capabilities of receiving all the wisdom and understanding of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit which is in him? In other words, you're identified, whether of a natural man or a spiritual man, by the very person of who you've become, which is the born-again person. That's who you are. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's the born-again nature. We're still talking about the power of that born-again nature, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In other words, he's simply saying here, the reason why you can be taught is because you have a capacity through the new nature to be taught, because you're sons and daughters of God. In a nutshell, these verses we just read. He says here, which things, okay, now we're about to bring in the Holy Ghost. Which things also we speak, Paul said, he's talking of himself as a teacher, as an apostle, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul was saying that the things that he taught was not given to him by words of man's wisdom, but by the words in which the Holy Ghost teaches, the language of the Holy Ghost. The Amplified says this, and we are setting these truths forth in the words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. Through praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit compares the spiritual things of truth in the Word of God of who we are in Christ with the spiritual things of who we are in our born-again spirit. This is called revelation knowledge, by the way. Hallelujah. Kirsten, come up here. Okay. You come up here and you stand. I'm going to pick on Kirsten. Is that all right? Kirsten said, I don't know if that's right or not. Okay, you just face. Now, Kirsten, I know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to do it very loud, but just start praying in tongues. Okay. And don't stop until I tell you to, okay? Okay. So Kirsten is praying in her heavenly language. Isn't that neat? And she, even if you smile or whatever, she doesn't have to stop because she's edifying herself right now because she can turn it on and turn it off like a switch. Amen. That's how we are. So she's praying the mysteries. Don't stop. Okay, she's praying the mysteries. I want to see your lips going. She's praying the mysteries. And but what is this scripture telling us? It's saying that Paul said that the Holy Spirit is comparing spiritual things to spiritual things by the words in which he teaches or the language in which he teaches. How many of you know the Holy Spirit only has one language that he really teaches real well with, and that's praying in tongues? And so I am, let's say I'm going to edify myself or I'm going to elevate myself rather. I am the Holy Spirit, okay? Okay, I'm the Holy Spirit. You see me out here, but I'm also in there because I'm creating that language. She's not just muttering. She's actually speaking in tongues. I wish you could see it real well on the camera, but she's speaking in tongues. I don't know what she's saying, but I'm the Holy Spirit, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring forth an edification of knowledge to her. What she's already been created as the person on the inside is righteousness and true holiness. I've already created that once. Now I've baptized her, and now I'm speaking based on her own will to continue the edification process. But what Paul is telling us here is that he compares the Holy Spirit, I'm him, standing on the outside, in that process, while she's praying, he uses that language which he flows through her as a medium of exchange to bring forth the process of revelation. Do you, everybody understand that? In other words, here I am, I'm the Holy Spirit, I'm in her, praying the language, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Well, you can't get any greater truth than that which I hold in my hand, which is the Word of God. This is the spiritual things of God, which will also be compared. Now, while she's praying, this is her life, okay? She's praying in church right now, but this is her life on a daily basis. As she continues to pray this language and look into this word of truth, what I'm going to do as her friend, companion, I'm going to go to her, and my backup process of mortification to her is this. I'll read my notes in a moment. The way that the Holy Spirit assists in the mortification process is not recreating the divine no again. That's already in there. But what he does do is he comes through knowledge of the Word of God and compares that knowledge of the Word of God to who we have been created and tells us, this is who you are. Make no excuses to the flesh. So here I am. She's praying. This is her daily, you know, this is Monday or Tuesday or whatever. And she's looking into the Word of God. Maybe she's not praying at the same time, but she's looking to this Word. She prays in tongues. So I, by the Holy Spirit, I'm her teacher. And I'm saying, look here, Kirsten. I know that you, this is who you are. This, you see this right here? Honey, there's no need to be discouraged. You know that depression that was trying to come on you? This is what my word says right here, that you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Oh, honey, I know as you keep praying in tongues, let me compare something spiritual with something spiritual on the inside of you. You know how that, I hate to say this, you know how, because I know Kirsten, she's not like this, but you know how the lust of the flesh came on you, trying to come against you? And that reasoning came against you, and it said, you know, you're a single woman. You should be able to do Well, let me put it like this. What most other Christian single women do. You should go out and sow a little, have a little weekend, you know. Do a little pate. But honey, this is what my word says that you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been declared. You don't stop praying. She's saying amen. She's saying amen because what is on the word, in the word, as she prays in tongues, the Holy Spirit identifies and says, see that? That's who you are. Okay, thanks, Kirsten. She did a great job. Amen. It's comparing spiritual things. He's not coming and saying, I'm going to pray in tongues and I'll eventually give you the willpower to stop sinning. All he does is magnify through the word the truth of who you already are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, that's some good stuff right there. Let me just read this and close. The divine and eternal no against sin is already created within the born-again spirit. That's mortification. That's already there. The Holy Spirit likewise helps our infirmities when he prays for us by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. His aid to us in mortification is the continual revealing of Christ in us. Progression by knowledge. That's the progression of growth in Christ is by knowledge. There is a progression of growth that comes through knowledge. It's not a progression of righteousness. It's not a progression of righteousness, but a conforming to the image of who Christ is in us. The more we see who we are and what we have become and obey that knowledge, the more we are renewed in our minds and our bodies are brought under the conformity to the image within us. Glory to God. That's just good stuff. The Holy Spirit aids us in mortification of our bodies through knowledge. 2 Peter, boy, Homer did a great job on this. I can't wait for him to teach some more, and he's coming right up to bat. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So pray, 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 till you can't pray no more. He will assist us, hallelujah, in our knowledge. Let's all stand. Praise God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. And we're not going to forget. And I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time on this, but I will invite anybody that does not yet speak in tongues, and you would like to speak in tongues, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for the camera, and we're all going to pray, and we're all going to speak in tongues together. If you're here this morning and you don't pray in tongues, and you would like to pray in tongues, please come forward. Okay? Is there anybody here that's not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost, with praying in other tongues? Hallelujah. Let me talk to the camera for just a moment, because we're all going to pray. Praying in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the next work of grace after salvation. And as I proved this morning through Scripture, that it comes simultaneously. It can come simultaneously. It can come down the road. I mean, you may be saved for years and then get baptized, of course, but it can come simultaneously. So if you're a new Christian this morning and you're watching, or if you're someone here, you know, you can do it in your seat, but I'd like to lay hands on you. But the simplicity of it is this. You do not have to seek for the Holy Spirit anymore. You just have to accept Him. It's a thing of faith, just like salvation is faith. You didn't see Jesus. I don't think any of you ever saw Jesus walk through the wall when you got born again. You didn't see Him, but you believed. And when you believed, it happened on the inside. Baptism is just the same way. You have to ask, and then you have to receive, and usually there's a prayer prayed, and it can be just by yourself. That's one of the askings that's fine. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. The other thing that Jesus said, if you ask the Father for the Holy Ghost, He will in no wise give you a serpent or scorpion. I can tell you this, nobody that ever sincerely just genuinely asked, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost, ever got anything stupid like a devil or some kind of idiotic thing. God always makes sure you get the truth of the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, whatever you begin to speak, once you initially, and it's just like this. It's like stepping off a cliff. When I've prayed for a lot of people, and I pray for them, and initially they just keep saying, there was a man the other day, I was trying to get filled, and he just kept saying, I said, just receive, and then now start to speak, and whatever comes to your mind, just let that let it come up and let it start coming. I don't care if goo goo gaga. I don't have everybody's language is different, but listen, you can't keep saying I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not going to interrupt that. The Holy Spirit's not a devil. He's the Spirit of God, and devils control people. Devils just make them do stuff. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you do anything. You kind of have to just do it yourself, and He joins in with it. When you start doing it, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to open my mouth. I don't care. This is real crazy, and I'm going to say something. And when you start, the Holy Spirit starts, and I don't give people instructions, okay, say this, and then they say that, because the Word says that He gives the utterance. And then people sometimes have gotten filled like that, but then they get home and they say, no, I was just doing what He said, you know, so the devil takes it away for a season of time. So this morning, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for everybody. If you need to come up, please. We all had to come up at one time, and or wherever we're at, make that initial stand. Bailey got filled the other day in her prayer closet. You can get filled at home. You can get filled at your seat. But I'm telling you, you have to take that step of faith. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for everybody and everybody watching, and then I'm going to release the power of God into this house and everybody that's watching that they might be filled. Father, I thank You for the message and for Your people that have pulled with You and pulled with me this morning, receiving this message on the power of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and mortification. Now, Lord, this beautiful ministry that we've been given by the Holy Spirit to assist us and to aid us in what our own spirit is already groaning against. And Father, we just ask that if there's anybody here that's not filled or anybody watching that's not filled, we just release the power of the Holy Spirit for them right now in Jesus' name. Now everybody say this prayer with me. I say that, Father, I ask You for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I thank You that Jesus said, if we would ask You, Father, You would give us the Holy Ghost. Not anything else. Father, I ask You for the Holy Ghost. And I receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. And so all of us, most of you in here already feel, but let's go through this exercise. Just breathe in. I love the way Donner does it. She says, just breathe in. And then just kind of let the breath out. And then now speak. Everybody, let's all pray in tongues. Those of you that are watching, those of you that anybody in here, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't pray. Don't pray. I love you, Jesus. Don't pray in Spanish. Don't pray in Creole. Don't pray in English. Whatever your language is, stop, and now just start praying in tongues. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to rein myself in because I could just get caught up here and stay for a while. Hallelujah. And then forget about you. And I don't want to forget about you. You're great. You're great. Hallelujah. How many were edified? Amen. Amen. I was edified. I appreciate you staying with me and pulling with me. We love everybody out there. Amen. If anybody needs prayer other than what we just prayed for, I'm available just for a few moments. So God bless you tonight. Back on Sermon on the Mount. Blessings to all of you. Amen. Praise God. Amen.